Welcome to The Day Shift, a podcast focused on shifting the way we think and talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. I'm your co-host, Dr. Pooja Jayil, and my pronouns are she and her, along with our production assistant,
Lakeitha Arathila, pronouns she and her.
And we are excited to welcome you to this special series for hashtag Proud to Be GIM Week, brought to you by The Day Shift Podcast, the American College of Physicians, and the Society of General Internal Medicine.
In each episode of the week-long series, we will revisit important topics from our first seasons. Each episode will feature a conversation with the leaders from different ACP regional chapters to add further insights to the topics featured in our older episodes.
In this episode, we interviewed Dr. Angie Chen, current governor of ACP's Northern California region, and Dr. Linda Cleaver, former governor of ACP's Northern California region and former chair of the ACP's Board of Governors. Both physicians were asked to share their thoughts on our Season 2 episode titled Physicians as Patients, that discussed the concepts of ability and wellness in medicine. The discussion touches on the idea of a healthcare professional being invincible or superhuman, and how harmful that messaging is to the realities of the impact that the mental and physical burdens we carry can have on all of us. That episode aired in January 2021. Unfortunately, we were unable to find a time to record together, but Drs. Chen and Cleaver generously shared their thoughts in writing to contribute to this episode. Lakeitha will lend her voice to Dr. Chen's comments, and I will voice Dr. Cleaver's. Without further ado, here's our written interview with Drs. Chen and Cleaver.
Since the episode aired, we have spent another year in the pandemic, facing the waves of the Delta and then the Omicron variant. What are some successful wellness initiatives you've seen come out of the last 2 years, and what are some areas you'd like our system to work on?
The flexibility to work from home and to understand the need to have backup childcare, for instance, have been a pivot to the demands of the time. Some institutions have subsidized ergonomic home office equipment so that physicians can work from home, seeing patients virtually. However, these options should be able to continue when appropriate and not roll back. Reimbursements for telehealth should continue seamlessly as we return to more pre-pandemic states.
Dr. Cleaver responded, "Some of the best well-being initiatives I've seen over the past two hellish years have been at two levels. The first is at the National Academy of Medicine's Action Collaborative on Clinician Well-Being and Resilience. This has produced thoughtful, workable results. The ACP is a member, and their research, collection of information, and resources are terrific. Translation to the local levels can be pretty smooth given the high quality and practicality of the materials. Countywide efforts by medical societies and associations aimed at getting people together by Zoom or by outdoor activities have been warmly successful. The opportunity to have conversations in breakout rooms or on a hike is priceless. People say the truest things such as, quote, before COVID, my schedule was packed, packed, packed. I was scared of what would happen to me if I were more alone. It turns out I discovered that by being totally scheduled, I was really wallpapering over my fear that if I were alone, I wouldn't like my own company. And then I found out that I liked myself. This has changed my life." End quote. Who knew that someone would say something so revealing and constructive in public? Getting people together in safe spaces for conversations stimulates healing.
While this episode focused on the medical trainees, how does advocating for systemic improvements in physician practices, workflow, and overall well-being look like as a practicing physician?
I want to answer another question and address an issue that affects everyone, physicians and patients alike, and was alluded to by one of the previous interviewees, and that is the way we inquire about mental health during licensing application and renewals. First, there should be a uniformity in licensing requirements nationally. As we have seen, many physicians who are delivering virtual care, interportability of credentials has been essential. And to that end, it should be mentioned that not all states treat physician disabilities equally. In some states, for example, they clearly violate the Federation of State Medical Board guidelines to avoid direct questions of diagnosis and treatment. For example, one state lists that all these DSM-5 diagnosed checkboxes ask if a physician has ever had any of these illnesses, such as bipolar disorder, depression, anxiety disorder, including seasonal affective disorder. And not only do they ask for self-disclosure, but they also request for medical chart records from the physician applicant. This violates ADA. The trainee, who courageously talked about their bipolar illness and the onerous process to be evaluated, speaks to the stigma and lack of self-compassion we continue to have as a profession. And I say self-compassion pointedly because it is exactly that issue. If we understood how hard life is as it is, how being human is to err, it is human to be imperfect, to struggle. If we truly understood this, we would undoubtedly have far more acceptance of our own fallibility and the imperfection in others. The Jeopardy system is a flawed one that prevents trainees from wanting to ask for help or not working when sick. I recall myself avoiding jeopardizing my fellow residents during an on-call shift and asking a nurse in the ED for a toilet hat so I could vomit in the bathroom between seeing patients in the ED. I recall having terrible GI symptoms and spent an entire overnight shift feeling feverish, simply not wanting to go home and asking for a colleague to take over. I related to the other interviewee talking about their ulcerative colitis symptoms and fearing needing to constantly go to the bathroom while working. What an awful feeling. On another occasion, I contracted conjunctivitis and pulled off service and felt terrible jeopardizing my fellow resident. I couldn't hide my symptoms. My eyes were injected and tearing. I begged to stay on service. Think of all I would have infected staying on. And this brings me to the issue of patient safety. Medical board roles are essentially to protect patients, at least that is the clear role in California. And yet what is perhaps not obvious is that if you do not allow physicians to confidentially ask for help and openly talk about their mental health and substance use disorders or any illnesses, they are more likely to drive it underground and let symptoms go unchecked until egregious harm finally befalls the patient. It's not mutually exclusive to have a philosophy or a paradigm of helping the physician, who, by the way, are patients, and protecting patients. This issue must be made public and clear, discussed, and fixed. ACP has a toolkit where you can advocate for changes in licensing application questionnaires.
Dr. Cleaver comments, with any luck, physicians have learned that policies change practice. That means that physicians in all levels of our profession, in training, in practice, in leadership, all need to get more involved in public discourse. We need to meet with boards of supervisors in county hospitals, for example, with legislators, with city health department personnel, hospital and hospital system boards, etc., so we can let them know what the front lines are like. Everyone really wants good health care, especially for themselves and their families. Our SADSAC system is hurting everyone. Good policy changes about equity, access, quality, availability, time spent and time waited, diversity, inclusion, payments will depend on physicians getting out of our offices, clinics, hospitals, and into the presence of policymakers. The first step is to listen to them and to listen to understand, not reply.
And finally, our last question, what is one message you'd like to give to medical students and residents as we move to the third calendar year of this pandemic?
To participate in advocacy and diversify interest in medicine so that one does not feel desperate. This is the only thing you can do. Clinical medicine is but one thing one can do with their medical degree. I encourage self-care, which may include psychotherapy or support groups, or simply a club that supports your hobby. It's important to find peeps who know you, who see you, the authentic you, because unfortunately, the clinical work setting is not usually up to where you'll be seen. And as I recently heard during a talk given at our chapter meeting, go back to the beginning to why you decided to enter medicine. Find inspiration in your own story. I know for me, it was to make a difference one person at a time, to have that relationship with another human being, not to check off a box or meet a measure.
Dr. Cleaver responds, it isn't selfish to take care of yourself. It's self-preservation. So you can do what you want to do and what you need to do. I must add, time is all you have and time is love. Know your values so you can pause, savor, and think about how to spend your time. One way is to spend some time on the renewing prescription, which is awareness, reflection, conversation, and then planning and acting.
We want to thank all of you for joining us on today's episode. To continue engaging in this conversation, join us on Twitter with the hashtag #ProudToBeGIM or by tagging us at The Day Shift. That's at the DEI Shift. We'd love to see you there as you share why you are proud to be GIM.